It's morning, Ireland. It's 12 minutes past seven. Playing with fire in a dangerous drift towards NATO. That was President Michael D. Higgins in an exclusive Business Post story at the weekend, sounding a warning about deviating from Ireland's neutrality policy and doing so ahead of the first meeting of the government's new forum on international security policy. Taoiseach Micheál Martin, in a lengthy statement, insisted the government did not intend to change Ireland's policy of military neutrality, while former Foreign Minister and Fine Gael TD Charlie Flanagan described President Higgins' comments about Professor Louise Richardson, the chair of the upcoming forum, as an unnecessary and gratuitous attack. The president has referred to her as a person with a very large DBE. The Waterford-born vice-chancellor of Oxford University is a dame of the British Empire. To tell us more about the interview with President Higgins, I'm joined now by the editor of the Business Post, Daniel McConnell. Daniel, good morning.
And good morning, Mary.
The president and your interview have certainly raised the profile of these upcoming forums. But will you tell us something about the context of the interview and how it came about?
Sure. So we obviously, in light of the consultative forum, we took a decision to do, a bit of a deep dive in relation to the whole issue of both neutrality and Ireland's relationship with NATO and other strategic alliances in a post-Brexit environment. So obviously myself and my team had been looking at this over the last couple of weeks. And then as part of that, my reporter, Barry White, who led and drove our coverage, basically reached out to President Michael D. Higgins for his input in relation to this. And obviously, he acceded to the request for interview. We held that interview last Thursday, and ultimately, obviously, you know, President Michael D. Higgins was very forthright in his views and has certainly raised the attention levels around this forum. But I think also what he has done is articulate his very long-standing views and ideological views in relation to neutrality. And I think what he has done is also, I suppose, put a very clear marker down on government in relation to any proposals, because I think there is a sense that Ireland's relationship or attitude towards its neutrality is certainly changing, given the context of the war in Ukraine and given obviously Russian aggression across the, you know, in Irish waters. And we've seen them kind of, you know, war gaming and kind of obviously they've been spotted scoping out the undersea cables in more recent times. So all of this was feeding into the context of the request for interview. And obviously Michael D. Higgins has certainly used that opportunity for interview to set out his stall.
And maybe take us through some of what he said about what he was describing as a dangerous drift.
Yeah, essentially. So the core, I suppose, the key of his argument is that Ireland is playing with fire, in essentially kind of moving away from its positive neutrality, as he described it. And he said he described Ireland's current position as one of drift, and essentially the most dangerous moment, he says, in the articulation and formulation of foreign policy and its practice since the origin of diplomacy has been when you're drifting and not knowing what you're doing. And I would describe our present position as one of drift. And certainly, you know, he has, in relation to the consultative forum, he also says that, the various panels are mostly made up of the admirals, the generals, the Air Force and the rest of it. And he hit out at where are the former neutral, and other former neutral countries who are now joining NATO. But he said there was no representation from still neutral countries such as Austria and Malta. Now, it's those criticisms of that forum that have certainly raised the ire, particularly of government ministers. I mean, I think government ministers would have been more prepared to allow him articulate a view around neutrality, the wider kind of ideological view around neutrality. But I think it's the specific criticisms of that forum that have certainly kind of, raised the level of controversy around this. And what we saw
No, I was just going to say the forums begin on Thursday of this week in Cork, and then another takes place in Galway and another in Dublin. But is it the makeup of the forum that he's hitting out at in particular, or is it the various panels, the subject matter, and what is being discussed?
Yeah, he seemed to certainly suggest that there was a kind of a dominance of military type people and a lack of people who, you know, have experience in other countries who have experience or who aren't neutral themselves. And particularly that reference to countries that were formerly neutral and those who have now kind of gone into NATO. And we obviously, we ran a case study of Finland, you know, who've recently gone in. You know, Finland is a country of similar size to Ireland. And it's given its reasons for why it decided to join NATO and made very clearly that, you know, it saw its introduction to the European Union in 1995 as part of a security consideration, not necessarily an economic one. So, you know, he was certainly making that point. But when, I suppose, the manner in which he said it, you know, saying it, the admirals, the generals, the Air Force, the rest of it, he was very clearly saying that this is, you know, there is an imbalance in terms of the lineup of this particular forum.
Okay,
now,
yeah.
government have come back very strongly saying, listen, the NATO issue is one panel out of 18. There is plenty of other aspects of the wider security situation being covered, and there are academics and there are legal experts. There are people from a broad spectrum of people, and that is certainly one area where Michael D. Higgins has come in for some criticism from government quarters over the last 24 hours or so.
And staying with the response or reaction from various political figures to what Michael D. said, while Micheál Martin in a lengthy statement went on to describe what will happen at these forums over the 3-day period, has anybody actually said he crossed a line here?
Well, the most overt, I think, comment yesterday publicly was from Junior Minister Neil Richmond on The Week in Politics with Áine Lawler, where he said he certainly came very close to the line. And Helen McEntee, you know, in a News Talk interview, you know, very said that Michael D. Higgins was very aware. She said it two or three times of what he said and what the boundaries are of his position. It has been, obviously, in the introduction, and I think in what it says, the paper said there were reference there to what Charlie Flanagan, a former Minister for Justice and Minister for Foreign Affairs, said. I mean, he certainly was very trenchant in his criticisms. But what we did have in Neil Richmond's contribution was he did overtly disagree with the various aspects of what the President said, particularly in relation to the funding of the Defence Forces. The President had said funding should almost not happen until, you know, various issues are internal in terms of, you know, there are various kind of controversies that have, you know, dogged the Defence Forces. You know, funding should not go in until those controversies are properly dealt with. And Neil Richmond overtly disagreed with the President. And this is not normal territory for government to be in overt kind of disagreement with the President. There have been many criticisms, you know, kind of privately. I think, you know, there's a great deal of annoyance, and you can see it through, you know, the various papers this morning. There's a great deal of annoyance within government at Michael D. Higgins. Now, but this is not new territory. I mean, he has pushed the boundaries of his office since he came into office in 2011. I remember vividly, you know, he raised the heckles of government in 2012 when he weighed into the fiscal treaty debate by almost alluding to possibly convening a council of state in relation to the treaty.
He also indeed, and other comments as well in more recent time around migrants and around housing. And we're going to be debating the comments a little later on as well, and the upcoming forum that's taking place. But for now, thank you very much indeed, Daniel McConnell from the Business Post, for joining us this morning. And it's 20 minutes past seven. Morning, Ireland, at 13 minutes past eight. Now, comments from President Michael D. Higgins have moved the upcoming debates on Irish neutrality centre stage. In an interview in the Business Post, he said Ireland is playing with fire during a dangerous period of drift in foreign policy. Ireland must not become buried, he said, in other people's agendas. He also criticised the makeup of the panels of the government's consultative forums on international security that are taking place in Cork, Galway and Dublin. Tánaiste Mí Micheál Martin has defended his decision to convene the forum, saying it's not a binary discussion and the government does not intend to change Ireland's policy of military neutrality. We're going to discuss the presidential comments now and the upcoming forum. And I'm joined by Cathal Berry, independent TD and former member of the Defence Forces, and by Richard Boyd Barrett, People Before Profit Solidarity TD. And thank you both for coming into us on Monday morning. You're very welcome. Cathal Berry, the Tánaiste wants a national conversation. So hasn't the President now ignited the debate, and isn't that something you'd welcome?
Yeah, certainly, for sure. But I think, to be fair, though, I would more welcome a more respectful debate. And that's the issue. We should always seek not to polarise or demonise anybody. If you want to have a debate about an issue, just have the discussion. And there was a few personal comments over the weekend, which I think are probably not appropriate. I mean, the chair of the forum, I mean, there were very personalised comments there. And there was a mention of, because of her very large DBE, so Dame of the British Empire.
Yeah, this is to give people the context here. This is Professor Louise Richardson, Vice Chancellor of Oxford, formerly of St Andrews and Harvard. She's the chair of the forum, and he said, as you say, this the chair is a person, the person in charge is a person with a very big DBE, Dame of the British Empire. It's grand, but a few candidates, he says, I could have come up with myself.
Yeah, and there's kind of an insinuation there that it's an imperialistic award, which it's not. So your listeners may not be aware.
Maybe that's your interpretation.
No, correct. Yeah. But maybe the president isn't aware either. But the reason she got that award was because of her devotion to medical science. She was involved in the vaccination with AstraZeneca, but also for increasing the accessibility of Oxford University to disadvantaged families. I think that's a very, very important thing. And I don't see why that would debar someone for chairing a conference here over in Ireland.
But let's park the Louise Richardson situation for a moment, and I will come back to it. But you said he had polarised the debate. In what way has he polarised the debate?
Just in relation to the panels again, I mean, there was a comment made about admirals and air forces and generals. And just for the listeners' information, I mean, there's no admirals at all on those panels.
But there are lots of retired senior army personnel.
Yeah, so no admirals and there's no air forces, members of the air force. There are five Irish generals. So these are three retired gentlemen and two serving generals, and these are five individuals who've dedicated their lives to UN peacekeeping all over the world, and they shouldn't be misrepresented as though they're some kind of warmongering imperialists. They are doing the activities precisely that President Higgins claims to be supportive
and
of.
And what do you see as the purpose of these forums taking place over 3 days or four days, I think?
Well, I think for me the number one purpose is that we can actually talk respectfully in a safe place about defence. It's a topic that has been a taboo area for so long. So having a respectful debate is number one, but secondly, to establish the common ground and consensus. I mean, Richard and myself would have chatted about this. We sit next to each other in the Dáil, and both of us are in complete agreement that we need to get a cargo aircraft that can fly and pick up Irish citizens who are in distress around the world. And in fairness to the Taoiseach, regardless of what people think, he has signed off on a $68 million contract just before Christmas to actually get that type of capability, and we're going to have it in 2 years' time. So establish the consensus, establish where the common ground is, and to have a normal conversation like any other EU country.
And Richard Boyd Barrett, isn't that important to have a conversation, to be able to talk about Ireland's defence?
This isn't a respectful conversation. This is a heavily biased forum that is dominated by people who have pro-NATO, pro-EU militarisation views, or who have, in the case of the chair, and it's nothing to do with being personal, it's just a simple statement of fact about her record, is that she's on record as supporting US foreign policy.
She is an expert on political science, that is her background, and her specialised subject is terrorism.
Yeah, and she has particular views, and you know they're a legitimate part of the debate. But she's the chair, and the forum is absolutely dominated by people who've worked in the military, have associations with NATO, or have a record of arguing for Ireland to move away from neutrality or towards NATO or into the project of EU militarisation.
And is it not important to hear from them and to hear from everybody?
It should be a balanced debate, Mary, and it's not. It's a ready-up. And let's remember, originally the government had talked about having a People's Assembly, which would be a representative cross-section of Irish society. They moved away from that, and I think they did so very deliberately because they know the majority of people in this country support neutrality, and the government are trying to condition public opinion to move away from it. And it's part of a long, long standing campaign by particularly the two major parties. I mean, let's remember the Irish government, Fianna Fáil, facilitated millions of US troops to go through Shannon Airport to prosecute bloody war. 2 million. 2 million US troops to go through Shannon Airport to prosecute wars in Iraq and Afghanistan.
You said in a statement, you called it a ready up here now. To do what?
To condition public opinion, as the government have been very, very systematically doing, and I think that's essentially what Michael D. Higgins, and I think he was right, was alluding to move closer, which the government have been doing by stealth in any event, to the NATO military alliance.
Closer to join NATO? Are you going that far?
I don't think they have the confidence to face down public opinion on actually joining NATO yet, but what they have done through PESCO, through the battle groups, is develop closer alignment with NATO, because that's what PESCO essentially is doing, interoperability with NATO. We had a NATO commander in Cork earlier this year, overseeing Irish troops, assessing Irish troops. So there's a very clear push to align us with NATO.
In your view, to bring Cathal Berry in, and the points that Richard is making there, that it's a ready up, a stitch up, they're conditioning us to move closer to NATO.
So that's just, I don't think it's accurate. Look, there's three ends here. Some people would say it's all about the pro-neutrality groups. Some would say it's pro-NATO groups, but the vast majority of people are actually in the normality group in the middle. How can we basically position Ireland to look after itself and look after our home island? That's what's really important. A big issue for me, and I'm glad that the first event is taking place down in Cork, is that Ireland recently purchased in the last couple of months two second-hand New Zealand vessels, for instance, ships. We have no crew for them. So there's two vessels tied up in Cork Harbour at the moment. And for me, not having crew for two Irish assets is a big issue for me. So I'd be very interested in exploring how do we rectify that situation.
I want you, though, Cathal Berry, to address the concerns that have been raised there by Richard about the makeup of the panels, which he still says are slanted, I think would be your view, in a particular military direction.
Yeah, okay, so the list of panellists, and there's about 80 in total, are fully available on government.ie, the portal, how the government communicates with the people. There's journalists, there are diplomats, there are ambassadors, there are NGOs, so Concern and Oxfam are involved. There's civil servants, there's a wide variety of people, and academics in particular for sure as well, professors of law, professors of all kinds of...
He's right, I have the list here, Richard Boyle.
Yeah,
right?
I've looked at the list, and it's heavily slanted towards people with pro-NATO.
Are you denying
NATO
the content
views?
That the
I'm saying it is not a balanced debate. I mean, I'm a TD in the Dáil, that is the I happen to be the president of the Irish anti-war movement. We were not even notified about the forum by the government, right? It's been completely stacked.
But did you make it? There's been, was it 300
the submission date isn't the submission date isn't until the 7th of July. Okay?
Are you going to make a submission?
Well, we probably will, but the problem is the whole thing has been stacked in
advance.
Are
you going to attend?
I don't know, but we'll also be having our own forums starting tonight in Dublin to counterbalance what we believe is a completely biased...
These are public forums, and
they're being
streamed.
Mary, they're all booked out.
You can book places.
No, you can't book places. They're all booked out,
Mary.
They
are streaming on. I'm sure they give you a place, Richard.
We tried to book them, and why aren't the people who have a known record of campaigning against militarism, campaigning for neutrality, why are they not equally represented on the panels? They're not.
Is there a better way to do this, Cathal Berry, so that you don't lose sight of the genuinely held views that Richard represents in the anti-war movement?
No, I mean, it's a legitimate point, but I would say that this forum is actually, there's features in this forum that should be introduced to the Citizens' Assembly. So Citizens' Assembly are, as a general rule, you pick 100 random people, they have confidential discussions for about a few months, and then they issue a report at the end. I mean, Citizens' Assembly, judging by this, they could actually be live streamed in future.
Mm-hmm. You want a Citizens' Assembly, don't you?
1,000 people are attending these.
We much prefer a Citizens' Assembly to this, and I think it is noteworthy that the government initially proposed a Citizens' Assembly and then abandoned it. Why? Because I think they are afraid of public opinion, and they know, look at the polls, every poll that has been taken...
It's not one or the other, though, is it? Could we not follow on as Cathal Berry?
What we want is a balanced debate. This is not a balanced debate. And the government didn't want a representative cross-section of society because they know what the majority of people in this country think of this.
So anybody can attend... Anybody can
watch
and listen.
It's booked out, Cal. Yeah, it's booked out.
Watch it. It's streaming online.
Can't participate. Yeah. It's booked out.
Anybody can make a submission, and it's free information, and it's just the start of a process.
So. And just finally, I said I'd come back to the Louise Richardson issue. Whatever about whatever else the President had to say, do you believe he should apologise to Louise Richardson for those comments?
Yeah, I hope it has happened already privately, and I think she's deserving of it. In fairness to her, she has maintained her dignified silence over the weekend, but I think an apology should be accepted. It's not acceptable for a public representative to target a private individual like that who has no right of reply.
I honestly do not think apologies okay. are necessary here. I mean, we're talking about a serious
right.
issue
we
affecting
leave it
this country.
It's 24 minutes past 8. Cathal Berry, Richard Boyd-Barrett, thank you both very much for joining us this morning.